Today we're going to be in Colossians, so if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Colossians. Today we're going to be in Colossians chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to be reading through verses 11 through 15. That's Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. And the title of today's sermon is Two Great Symbols of Freedom. Two Great Symbols of Freedom. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. God's word says, "In him you are also circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith, in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you today, God, for your holy, inspired word, Lord. God, we thank you for all the people that are here celebrating this wonderful day of independence, Lord. God, we thank you for the people that are here to support Brother David Whittington and his baptism, Lord. God, we thank you for all the blessings, Lord. But God, we know there are also some broken hearts today, Lord. Brother Gerald Schumann had passed away this week, Lord. And God, I know that he had touched many people's lives here in Emporia. And God, we just pray blessings for him and his family, Lord. God, that you would just comfort them during this really difficult time, Lord. That you would encourage them, lead them to make decisions, Lord, that they need to make, Lord, as they prepare for his services, Lord. God, we also know that there's people in our congregation today that are going through family troubles, Lord, and financial difficulties and health issues. And Lord, so we pray for them as well, God. Lord, you have been so good to us, Lord. We just continue to pray for these people, Lord. God, Brother Ted had been admitted to the hospital a little over a week ago, Lord. And God, this man has really gone through a tough time, Lord. God, he's got infections in multiple places in his body, Lord, and his heart is having issues. God, we just pray again that you would lift him up, Lord, and that your miraculous works would be done. Lord, I know there's many prayers here that aren't even on our prayer request list. And God, so we just ask you to search people's hearts, Lord, and lift them up and encourage them and pray for them today. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done. But thank you most for giving your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 What a special weekend it is, really, when you think about it. So many exciting things are happening. David Whittington's getting baptized. Hey, that's a great thing, right? Yeah, praise the Lord. Tonight we're going to have our annual fireworks celebration, rain or shine, so that should be entertaining, to say the least. Now, I will tell you, we have only shot the neighbor's house with an artillery shell once. That's it. Once in 7 years isn't a bad record, folks. Now, granted, he wasn't real thrilled with us, and I had to deal with some exciting things on Monday, but nobody was injured, so that's a good thing. And then tomorrow is a great day because we get to celebrate our nation's independence. Praise the Lord for that, so that's good things. So if you're excited about this weekend, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Happy early Independence Day. Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "In the truest sense, freedom cannot be bestowed. Freedom must be achieved." And folks, that's exactly what took place back in 1776. I mean, that was a long time ago. That's before Sister Alva was alive, right? Back in 1776. So, I mean, that's a long time ago. But our freedom was achieved then. Our freedom from oppression. Our freedom from tyranny. Our freedom from Great Britain. And on July 2nd, 13 colonies voted on this resolution of independence. And then on July 4th of 1776, the Declaration of Independence was signed and America became a nation. Praise the Lord, huh?
Amen.
So today we celebrate this great nation of over 240 years old. And we remember that as America continues to fight for freedom, as it continues to fight against terrorism, and as it continues to fight for the good morals that this country was founded on, we also have a lot of blessings that America was built on that we should celebrate today. The freedom of religion, the right to bear arms, the freedom of speech, all those things are great things. And we have our American soldiers to thank for all those precious freedoms that we still enjoy today. Some have fought in Vietnam. Some have fought in World War I or II. Some have been in the Korean War. Some have fought in Desert Storm and the Gulf War.
And some are still fighting today on that war of terrorism. If you're presently in or you've ever been in the armed forces, would you stand, please? Go ahead. I know there's people in the military. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's give them a round of applause. These are the people that help protect our freedom. And we appreciate you guys very much. Thank you for your service. And thank their families, too. It's hard to be the family of a soldier. Now, if you noticed when you walked in today, there was a basket with a little green paper, and it had some Army soldiers in there. And, well, military soldiers. And so I encourage you today, if you didn't on your way in, on your way out, if you would just grab one of those soldiers, put it somewhere in your house, and whenever you walk by and you see that little green soldier, you think about to pray for our military. Because I'll tell you, our military could use your prayers today more than ever. So I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to live in the United States of America. I'm thankful to have the freedoms we have. I'm thankful to have the things that we have fought for. And I'm thankful that our founding fathers were good people that built this whole country, this foundation, on this book. And folks, it's important that we don't let this book go away. This is the most precious treasure that any of you can own. I don't care if you have big diamond rings or mansions or driving Ferraris. This is the most precious treasure you could ever own, because this and God's word is the only thing that can truly change a person's life. Amen. So I'm thankful for that today. God's word is alive. Amen?
Amen.
And America's alive too. If you're proud to be an American, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
If you're proud to be a Christian, let me hear you say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right. We are a blessed nation today. And we're talking about these soldiers, but I also want to tell you that whether you are a soldier or not, if you are a person that's living for God, the reason our country is a great country is because of you too. Psalm 33 and 12 said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. Because you've chosen to serve God, because you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and because you continue to live for him, the Bible says, our nation is blessed. So thank you, too, for your blessings. So today I want to talk about two different symbols. The first symbol of freedom I want to talk about is the American flag. Now, as a soldier, when I look at the American flag, I look at the red, and I think of the blood that was shed for our country. And it humbles me. It really humbles me, because while we can enjoy all the great freedoms here, there are people today that are fighting for what we enjoy. When I look at the 13 stripes on the flag, it reminds me of the 13 colonies that stood against Great Britain, that stood up and started and created what this nation is, as America. And when I look at the 50 stars, it makes me think that as 50 states, we still stand together and form the most powerful nation in the world. Amen?
Amen.
So as we sing the national anthem over all over America today, it reminds us that our flag stands on the battlefield with groups of soldiers serving our country every day. And so I'm thankful for our American flag, and I'm thankful for what the people have done to give us the freedom. The second great example that reminds me of freedom I want to share today is the cross. The cross is the biggest example, the biggest symbol of freedom we could ever have. When you think about it, I mean, Ron, are you thankful for the cross today? I mean, you really thankful for the cross today?
Glory.
I mean, where would you be without the cross today?
Well, I don't want to answer that.
But I'll tell you, if you think about where would we be without Jesus Christ? And you see, the Bible says in John 14:6 that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Let me ask you another question. This may be a dumb question. How many people in the congregation today want to go to hell? I'm not asking how many people's spouses have said that to you. I'm asking how many people want to go there. Nobody, right? Nobody wants to go there. Connie, don't say that to Ronnie. He loves you. Sorry about that, Brother Ronnie. We'll pray for her later. Anyway, how many people want to go to heaven? Amen. I want to go to heaven. That's going to be a great place to go. But I got to tell you something today, that unfortunately, I can't get to heaven on my own. I just can't get there on my own. And you say, well, you're a preacher. If you can't get there, what hope is there for me? Well, I didn't say I couldn't get there. I'm going there. I just said I can't get there on my own. And I can't get there on my own because I've done these things in the last 40 years of my life. This is the part where my wife's just supposed to be quiet in church. You know what I mean? But I've done some things over the last 40 years of my life that have not been good, that have not glorified God. I've done things, I've committed what the Bible calls as sin. Would you agree with that, Shannon? I like how soft that was. That's good. But I've lied. I've lost my temper before. I've have been unmerciful. I've said some things that I even regret.
Amen.
I've done some, not a lot, but some bad things. See what I live with, Brother Ronnie? I know what it's like. So I've done these things called sin, and you see, with what I've done, I can't go to heaven. But before you guys start laughing at me up here, oh, look at that pastor. Before you start laughing at me up here, I want you to think about, what about you? Don't start pointing fingers at me. We got people out here that are liars. Anybody ever lie before?
Yeah,
I see a couple amens and some raising hands. They don't want to embarrass themselves. Is the person next to you ever lied?
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, well. Yeah. Who's sitting next to you? You're picking on Jonathan already? Man, sorry, dude. I don't know what to say. She's my wife. But anyway, if you've done some of these things, the only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus, too. I mean, we just can't do it on our own. I mean, as beautiful and as handsome and as muscular as Brother Creed is, without Jesus, he's got nothing. Nothing. Like his shirt said, he'd be tapped out. But I mean, if he's got Jesus, he's got it all. Amen. So that's what I want to talk about today. When we look at our freedom and the flag that we have for our soldiers and what that has done for our country, the cross of Jesus Christ has done so many amazing things. Without that, we couldn't be where we are today. And so that's what I want to talk about. You know, Jesus paid a heavy price when he died on that cross of Calvary for you and me. He paid our debt. Our debt. You know, wouldn't it be awesome if you were going to McDonald's or you were going to Doobie's or you're going to your favorite restaurant and somebody behind you or in front of you or whatever paid for your food? Wouldn't that be cool? That'd be cool. Anybody ever had that happen to them? How'd that happen to me when I was in the military before? I thought, man, that is so nice. But you know, Jesus paid your debt, not part of it. He paid all of it. How many people got a credit card bill today? How many people have a car payment, a house payment? If somebody came up and said, you know what? I'm just so tired of you having to pay that. I know it must be miserable to work every day. Here you go, man. Pay it all off. Well, they would have to do, well, I don't know what they would do. But anyway, pay it all off. You know, it would be gone. You would never have to make that payment again. That's what Jesus had done for us when he died on the cross for us. That's why it's amazing. John 3:16 and 17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you want to go to heaven today, the only way to do it is to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Verse 17 is actually my favorite part of that verse. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And let me tell you, if you don't believe in the cross, then you can't be saved. I'm telling you, that's where Jesus did his business. That's where he died. That's where he paid that debt. Now, it's pretty interesting. As I was studying this, I was like, how does this crucifixion work, you know? I mean, was there a lot of people that died like this? Like, what happened in Rome anyway? And so I found many years ago there was this custom in Rome. When a man was condemned for a crime, they would take a note and they would write what they were condemned for. They would put the month, days, and years, or however long they had to serve. And they would take that and they would nail it up to the door next to where the person was in jail. And so then when the person finally got out of jail, they would take that to the judge. The judge would say, well, you served your time. And they'd like notarize it. They put some kind of stamp on it. So next time you were walking in the street and somebody said, I know you, Chris. You're a murderer. You'd pull that out and be like, I was a murderer, but I paid my price. And so that's one of the things that they had done. Well, now, if you were condemned for something that was so bad that you were going to be crucified, that you were going to die, what the Romans did was, rather than just putting it on your door of the prison cell, they would take it, and then when you were dying on the cross, they would put that at the top of the cross. I wonder what, if Jesus didn't die on the cross for our sins, and we were dying on the cross, I wonder what it would say for us. What would that note above our cross say? Would it say, liar, sinner, cheater, adulterer, blasphemer, murderer? What would it say? Because the Bible says Jesus was sinless. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin, God had made to be sin for us. Christ became sin for us, and from God's point of view, our sin was nailed to the cross. It was done. So the truth is that while you may watch that movie Passion for the Christ and you may get frustrated and your tears are rolling down your eyes, I'm not making fun of you, it happens to me too. They stretch Jesus' arm out and it comes out of socket and they put that nail in his hand. You could be as mad as you want at those people, but guess what? You and I are just as guilty. If you've sinned, you put him on that cross too. And I know that's not something that you want to hear, but it's important to tell you because that is the significance of how the cross provides freedom for us. In verses 11 and 12, it tells us our life is transformed by the cross. It says, "In him you were also circumcised, with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ." So Paul says, when you came to Christ, he's not talking about a physical circumcision. He's talking about a spiritual circumcision. He said, all that sin, all that bad stuff, everything you've done, I'm cutting that away. It's gone. See you later. Time to go, brother. And I'm going to create a new man, a new woman in you. The result of this transformation is verse 12. It says, "Have been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." So in baptism it says we are buried in sin, and we raised again to have this newness in life. And after our message today, when Dave Whittington comes forward, when he comes up out of the water, he'll be proclaiming that he's dead to sin. He's getting rid of that old sinful nature. And he'll rise out of that water saying, "I am rising to a new life in Jesus Christ." Amen. So the Bible says the result of the cross is a transformation in our life. You've gone from death unto life. And so the question I have for you today is, have you ever experienced this new life? Now, I want to ask you seriously. I'm not asking if you've came to an altar and you had an emotional experience. If these altars could talk, there's lots of emotional experiences that happen down here. You see all kinds of tears on the altar. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking if you really decided to follow Jesus. If you really said, "I'm going to put him first in my life. I believe in my heart that Jesus was God. I confess with my mouth of my sin and I repent and ask Jesus to forgive me. I confess that Jesus is my Lord and I want to make him my Savior." You see, everybody wants Jesus to be their Savior. Hey, nobody raised their hand about going to hell. We all want to go to heaven. But if you want to go to heaven, the only way is to know Jesus is your Lord and Savior. We've read in John 3:17, he doesn't condemn the world. He's not sending you anywhere. You're making that decision. So my question to you today is, again, not that you come up to the altar and have this emotional experience, but have you come up here and really said, "I am giving my life to the Lord. It's done. I can't fix it. I can't solve these problems. Jesus, I need your help. I'm tired of fighting the fight." My daughter yesterday had a heck of a day. She's in the military. She has some special things that I can't talk about that are in her wallet. Now, these special things are keys to a lot of things that most of us will never be able to know about. We went to this great restaurant and we ate, and she left her backpack there underneath one of the chairs. We're in Wichita. We drive all the way to El Dorado. We're at Walmart picking up some cleaning stuff for her house. We go in there and we're getting ready to buy some stuff. And she's like, "Dad, where's my purse?"
Like, "I don't know. I don't carry purses."
She goes, "It's got to be in the truck." And so she takes my keys and she runs to the truck. She can't find anything. She comes back, a grown woman defending our freedom in the military intelligence, with tears in her eyes. Unbelievably upset. So we call the restaurant where she said she left it. Their manager got on the phone, searched it, couldn't find it anywhere. The information she had, she could maybe even get a dishonorable discharge for. Who knows? But it was very secure things. And so she's super upset, crying, upset. Josh and I say a little prayer, and she goes, "There's just no way this is ever going to happen." So she calls again, "Hey, you got to search that place and find this." They can't find it. Nothing. It's not there. So she is crying, and she says words that you wouldn't probably say in a sanctuary, but you wouldn't say them when you were in the military. So you can imagine some of these words. And she goes, in all of her frustration, "There is no way this is ever going to be found unless the magical power of Jesus brings it back." And I said, that sounds like you threw the gauntlet down. Like, yeah, Jesus. Bam, make this happen. And I'm looking at Josh like, I'm thinking of singing that song, you know, God answers prayer, you know. And so I look at Josh. Josh looks at me. And I'm like, Josh, I don't know what to do. So we leave Walmart. I tell Faith, well, I'll buy whatever you need. No, we got to go find this. So we have our couch in the back of the truck. It's going to pour rain in Wichita. And I said, we look at the rain clouds like, well, let's go back in Wichita, but your couch is going to get wrecked. So she says, okay. So we drive towards Wichita. And then we see a couple sprinkles on the windshield, and we decide to navigate through that center section of the road and anyway, turn around. But that's not what we're talking about here today, how legal or illegal that is. But then we made it home. As we're on our way home, I don't remember if Josh called or they called us, but they found Face Backpack. So they found Face Walt. They found her purse, and she's like, only through the magical power of Jesus could this happen, because they couldn't find it before. Jesus loves you in the big things, and he loves you in the little things. But I want you to know that Jesus gave everything he was to become your Lord and Savior. That's how much he loves you. Your debt was completely paid. You were lost and you were on this pathway to hell, but Jesus said, you know what? I love that person. I love Lorene. I love Thomas. I love Dave. I love Shannon. I'm not letting this happen. I will die on the cross. I will pay their price so they don't have to go through this. And that's what he did for you. Dave, what's one of the benefits of being saved? Why do you want to be saved anyway? Why did you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Is that what your wife told you, or you actually found that out?
No, I did.
Because your wife told me that. I'm just telling you. But yeah, you found out you couldn't do it on your own. You couldn't fight this life on your own, right? You know, Dave, you're right. Your sin is forgiven. That's a blessing of being saved. You become a child of God. That's a blessing. You're delivered from that power and that penalty of sin that you could never get out from under. You're going to go to heaven someday with the presence of no sin eventually. How awesome is that? You're promised eternal life forever. That's pretty amazing. Without suffering, without shame, without pain. That's what God promises you. He says that he has prepared a home in heaven for you today. And all you need to have that, anybody can have that, is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I want you to know that your debt was paid on that cross. What a blessing that is, the cross. I'll tell you. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you accept that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you're a child of God. No one can rightly accuse you of anything. It doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, your husband, your wife, your friend, your brother, your cousin, sister, none of those people are judging you. Jesus says, I don't see anything in this book. I don't see nothing in this book. Because his blood covered your sin. What a blessing that is. So I'll tell you, at the cross our lives are transformed. Our lives were saved. Our debt was paid. And finally, as I close the message today, I want you to see that at the cross our enemy was defeated. Verse 15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So when Paul talks about this principles and powers, what's he talking about? He's talking about the power of Satan. The power of Satan. See, Satan attempted to destroy Christ. He tried. That was the plan. Hebrews 2:14 puts it like this. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus destroyed Satan at the cross. Destroyed him. Obliterated him. He's out of business. He's not winning this fight anymore. Jesus shattered him at the cross. And so you start thinking about that. Well, what do you mean? Well, on Friday, we call it Good Friday, sundown, they took Jesus down from the cross, and he was dead. Satan thought, I won the battle. But on Sunday morning, Jesus rose again from the grave. And just like Jesus rose again to conquer death, someday you too will conquer death if you know him as your Lord and Savior. 1 John 3:8 puts it like this. For the purpose of the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So while Satan may come at us at times, and you can't defeat him on your own, so don't even try. Matthew 16:23 says, "Get behind me, Satan." You could say that stuff. Do you believe that, Brother Ron? You could say that. Matthew 4:10 it says, "Away from me, Satan," Jesus declared, "for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Rest assured, Christ defeated Satan and we have the victory. You know how I know? Revelation 20:10, that's the last book in your Bible. It says this, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." That defeat can be traced back to the foot of the cross. Well, your American flag and my American flag is a symbol of freedom because those soldiers that lived and died and bled and came back, they have PTSD, they're wounded. You see people, young people, missing legs and arms, they did that because they love you. That flag is a symbol of our freedom here in our physical life. But the cross is a symbol of freedom for our eternal life. What a blessing it is to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. To know the God that has so much grace and mercy that even while we were sinners, he died for us, it says in Romans 5:8. But maybe you hear this Independence Day service and you're thinking, "I don't know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I don't know what it's like by anybody to be loved unconditionally. I don't know what it's like to be forgiven. And I don't even know if I would go to heaven." That's a great question. Maybe you're here today and you never really thought about that stuff, about what Jesus did at the cross. Well, don't wait any later. You can be saved today. I mean, you really can. It's not a hard deal. What it is it's putting down yourself and your pride and saying, "I can't do it any longer," like Dave said. There comes a time in your life where you just have to admit you can't do it any longer. And you need God to help you. Maybe that day for you is today. You see, it's really simple to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. All you got to do is say, "I believe in you, Lord. I know you came to die for my sins. And I am a sinner. I've done some bad things. Lord, forgive me. Help me not to do those things again. Change me." And then you got to confess that, "Jesus, I don't want you to just be my Savior. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to lead my life, because I've been trying to lead my life, and let me tell you, I've been screwing it up. So Jesus, I want to put you in charge. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to let you lead, and we're going to see what happens." Let me tell you, what Jesus did at the cross for Brother David Whittington, he can do for you. But it's your choice. You've got to make that decision. I can't make it for you. Nobody else can make it for you. This Independence Day, I want you to think of those two greatest symbols of freedom in your life today. That American flag that those soldiers bled and died to give us the freedoms we have. And that cross that gave you the freedom from your sin and to have eternal life. Let us stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so amazing, God, and we thank you, Lord. Not only did you save us, Lord, but God, you help us. God, your word says in Hebrews 13:5, you never leave us nor forsake us. Everything we go through, every trial, every tribulation, you are here with us. Now, it doesn't say you're going to give us a way out, but it says you will walk through that storm with us. One of Alva's favorite songs is "Till the Storm Passes By." Maybe you're going through a storm right now, and you're trying to handle it on your own. I know what it's like. Maybe it's time that you say, like Dave Whittington said, "I can't handle this on my own. I need you, Jesus. Won't you come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior today?" If you want to come and pray that prayer, you're welcome to come and pray at these altars today. Maybe you say, "Well, I know Jesus. He is my Lord and Savior, but I'm going through some tough stuff and I've been trying to handle it. I need to ask God for help." Well, come up and pray about it. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, "I don't even believe in this stuff. I don't even know why I'm here. Just here to make somebody happy." Maybe you come down and challenge God. Come down and lay the gauntlet down like my daughter did. Come down here and say, "Jesus, if you are real, I want you to show me this week. Show me some way that you are real and that you love me." Jesus will answer that prayer. He loves you. Shannon could tell you. He could sit here and preach about how Jesus saved his life. Literally, physically. I'm telling you, God is real, folks. And if you don't know him and you want to go to heaven, today is the day to ask him to be your heart and Savior, your Lord and Savior. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. We all love you and we all love Jesus. As we sing this verse of invitation, please take this time to come and pray about whatever's on your heart today. That hymn of invitation is hymn 486, Jesus is Lord of All.
All my tomorrows, all my past, Jesus is Lord of all.
Listen to this verse.
I've quit my struggles, contentment at last, Jesus is Lord. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all. All my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord. His love wins the battles I could not have fought. Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of all.
Do you believe that today?
King.